6:13-14. If you have your place there, please say amen.
Amen.
All right, let's read that verse together, verses. Psalm 66, verse 13 and 14. It says, I will go into thy house with burnt offering. I will pay thee my vow, which my lips have uttered, and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. Let's pray. Father, this morning we thank you for your word. We thank you for all these that are here this morning, gathered to worship you in spirit and in truth. Now, Father, I pray, Lord, this morning you'll hide me behind the cross, touch my old lips of clay, Lord, my mouth, Father, and give me your strength, Father, to preach and teach this message. Lord, we ask today that you'll open our hearts and our mind, that the Holy Ghost may come by and prick our hearts if need be. Father, that you'll move us all so closer to Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. And Lord, if there be one here today that ain't saved, I pray you'll save them today out of a devil's hell. Lord, if there's someone that needs to be making things right with you, Lord, I pray that even now they'll begin to make everything right with you in their life. Father, whatever it is, Lord, we pray that you'll have your will done today. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You know, I am glad. You know, we just had Thanksgiving. Many times we go to the Lord and we ask Him to forgive us of our sins or sin. God can, and He will do that. If we come to Him with a contrite, broken heart and say, Father, forgive me, He will forgive us. I mean, look down at verse 18 inside this same passage. He says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. That means if I have unconfessed sin in my life, God cannot and He will not hear my prayer. Neither will He hear yours. But look at what God does for us. For example, I'll give you a couple of verses. In Isaiah 43:25, He says, I, even I, am He that blotteth out thy transgression for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sin. Again, in Hebrews 8:12, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Again, in Hebrews 10:17, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. So, for God to forget your sins, number one, you got to be born again. You got to be saved. Number two, you got to confess with your mouth to Him, not to me, not to a priest, not to some Catholic. You confess with your mouth to Him and you repent of your sin. That means you turn from your wicked way. You turn from it and leave that behind and you tell God, I'm sorry. Because He says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I don't know about y'all, but that is wonderful, wonderful news.
Amen.
That even after I got saved, that does not mean I will never sin again. We are going to sin after we're saved. And that affects our fellowship with God. It does not affect our standing with God. The fact that when you got saved, you were saved forever. You are born again. I mean, if you're born, how can you be unborn? You can't be unborn. So if we are born again, we are given, the Bible says, Jesus Himself says, we are given eternal life. Eternal means going on forever. If you could lose your salvation, it would be conditional life, not eternal. You have eternal life if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not saying that you just believe He was a historical figure or you believe He was a philosopher or something like that. You've got to trust what Jesus did on the cross on Calvary for your sin. You've got to put your faith and your trust in the man of Calvary, the Jesus of the Bible.
Amen.
That He was born of a virgin. That He is 100% God and 100% man. You've got to believe and understand that He lived a perfect, sinless life. That He went to the cross on Calvary and bore the sins of the whole world. And then He gave up the ghost. He died for our sin, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. That whosoever will may come and call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. But that isn't it. He died and His body was buried in the tomb for 3 days and three nights, and then He rose again, bodily, soulishly, spiritually. He's alive now, forevermore. He is a risen Lord, and He's coming again. That is the Jesus we have to put our faith in. But see, there are times when we slip up. There are times when we intentionally sin. There are times that we sin, if you will, a sin of ignorance, a sin of omission, so-called. And that's when we accidentally mess up. But there are many, many, many other times when we intentionally, willfully sin. And that is what we call in theology a sin of commission. And see, the difference between us and the Jews is that under the old law, if you intentionally, willfully sinned, there was no sacrifice for you. You could not be forgiven of that sin that you intentionally did until the Day of Atonement. And you had to hope and pray that God wouldn't kill you before the Day of Atonement, which is around in the fall. That's why in Hebrews he says that for them there remaineth no more sacrifice. This isn't in my notes. This is in the Bible, though. I didn't know I was going to bring this out to you, but there it is. But under Christ, we have mercy. We have grace. And even though we willfully sin, God says, if you come to me and you turn from your sin and you repent of your sin, if you confess your sin, I will forgive you and cleanse you. Why? Because of the blood of the Lamb of God. Right. It affects our standing in other words, our fellowship with the Lord if we're in sin. So if you're in sin this morning, if you've not confessed any known sin to the Lord, I urge you to confess your sin to the Lord now. Otherwise, this message ain't going to do you no good. Otherwise, your paying of gifts and offering and tithes ain't done you no good because you are not in fellowship with the Lord. You've got to be in fellowship with Him. You know why? Because that restores to us the working of the Holy Ghost. And how do we worship the Lord? In spirit and in truth. You've got the truth, the old King James Bible right there. You've got number one right there, the truth right there. But you've got to have the Spirit. In order to have the Spirit, you've got to recover the filling or the leadership of the Holy Ghost. Because what preacher Christ preaches to you, I pray, by the power of the Holy Ghost will take that message and the points of this sermon and send it down into your heart. But He can't do His job if you haven't confessed your sin to the Lord to restore that fellowship you two have together. Does that make sense? Okay. But think about it, folks. The things that we've done, the things that we've thought, that are sins. God says, once He forgives us of that sin, He says, I will remember it no more. I don't know about y'all, but I've thought some pretty bad things in my life. And I'm glad God chooses to forget that. I may not, but He does, if He's forgiven it. God chooses to have amnesia when it comes to our forgiven sins. But, beloved, there are some things that God will not, that God cannot forget. You say, what's that? One of the things that God will never, ever, ever, ever forget is our vows. How many times have we been like the psalmist who made a vow or vows? Look back at Psalm 66:14. He says, I will pay thee my vows. That's verse 13. Look at verse 14 now. Which my lips have uttered and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. He said, preacher, what does that mean? I don't understand that. Okay, think about it. There is your child. Or there is your daddy, or there is your mama, or there is a loved one in your family. And they may be on their deathbed. They might have had cancer. They might have had an illness. They might have had a disease. They might have been in a freak accident. And here you are now at the hospital. That baby
might have been on death's doorstep, and now you are wringing your hand as only a parent can. There that loved one is, that mom or that dad is, they are laying there suffering, and you want God. Excuse me, devil ain't going to shut me up this morning. You want God to do something. You want God to heal that loved one of yours. And so suddenly, you are on this black day that could turn into their funeral, if you will. And you want God to do something. And so suddenly now, you enter in your prayer closet, maybe there at that loved one's bedside, and you begin to petition the Most High. And you say, Lord, if you will heal Mama, Lord, if you will heal Daddy, Lord, if you will heal my child, I will blank, blank, blah, blah. I will go to church every time the doors are open. Boom. That's a vow. That is a promise. Lord, if you'll heal my loved one, I will read my Bible every day. Boom! You made a promise to God on a black day. Lord, if you will heal my loved one, I will tithe from my pension. Boom! You made a promise to God. You see, this past Friday was the annual Black Friday. There were people up at 1 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning to go out and find the deals. But when it comes to Sunday morning, 10 o'clock is too early to go to Sunday school. 11 o'clock is too early to go to church because it's 11 o'clock. It's my weekend. But it's not too early to go to Walmart or Kmart or Belk's or JCPenney or Best Buy or whatever else it might be out there at 3 o'clock in the morning on Friday after Thanksgiving. But yet there was a black day when your loved one might have been at death's door and you made a deal with God. And He delivered. He came through for you. But yet many of these folks were able to make it out to those deals at 3 and 5 in the morning. But woe betide them, they couldn't make it to Sunday school at 10 or maybe 11 because it was too early. You want to know what the matter is? If they're in this boat, they have defaulted on their promise to God. They are hoping and praying that God has gotten amnesia about the deal they made with God on the black day. And that is the title of this sermon, Another Deal on a Black Day. If you want to understand the seriousness of this, you might hold your place in Psalm 66 and flip back to your left to Deuteronomy 23. You say, preacher, that's the Old Testament. It don't apply. Well, now, that's the Old Testament. And it's still the Word of God. Deuteronomy 23 verse 21 says, when thou shalt vow a vow unto the Lord thy God, thou shalt not slack to pay it. For the Lord thy God will surely require it of thee, and it would be sin in thee. But if thou shalt forbear to vow, it shall be no sin in thee. In other words, he's saying, if you don't vow, you'll be fine. But if you do make a promise to God, you better keep your word. Because if you don't, it's going to be sin inside of you. Verse 23, that which is gone out of thy lips, thou shalt keep and perform, even a freewill offering, according as thou hast vowed unto the Lord thy God, which thou hast promised with thy mouth. Solomon said, the wisest man that ever lived, besides the Lord. Ecclesiastes 5, verses 4 through 6, he said this, when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fool. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thine hand? Many times we wonder, why is everything I do falling apart? Is it because maybe 10 years ago you made a promise to God and maybe you haven't kept your promise to the Lord and He came through to you and you have neglected to do that which you promised to do before God? That you come to church every time the doors were open, that you would pay your tithe, or that you would pray more, or that you would read the Bible more. If you ever have made a promise like that to God, you better keep your word to God. You better say, I can't do it. You better, because God said, I will not hold back. I will not forget it. I will not hold back. As long as we have said those things to God, and we've not kept that word, God says in His word, that every time we don't do what we said we do, it turns right into a sin.
Amen. That's right.
And I believe that there are hundreds of millions of Christians in this nation today that they've made deals with God. They've made bargains with God. And God came through for them, but they haven't come through for God. God says we are a fool. God said that. Preacher Craig didn't. God said we're a fool if we vow and pay not. I want to give you some case examples here. You may be saying, well, can I make a vow to God? You can, but you got to be careful what you say. Because God will require it at your hand. Let me give a couple of case points here. In Hebrews 11, verse 32, this is the hall of heroes of the faith. He says, and what shall I more say, for the time would fail me to tell a Gideon and a Barak, not Obama, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets. There's a man right there named Jephthah, not Jeff Robertson, although that's who he's named after. You know, the Duck Dynasty boy. I'm going to get to them in just a minute. Why was Jephthah honored? Because the deal was made on the black day, and he kept his word. First of all, let me show you this. Let me show you, number one, the best deal God ever made. It wasn't on Black Friday, or what many of us call Good Friday, the Friday before Easter, when Jesus was crucified. If you study the Bible, you'll find that He was most likely crucified on Wednesday. So instead of it being Black Friday or Good Friday, we ought to call Wednesday Black Wednesday, or Good Wednesday. Because you can't get Jesus' body inside of the tomb for 3 days and three nights if He dies on Friday afternoon at 3 o'clock. You can't do it. Whether you count Jewish days or whether you count Roman days, you cannot get Jesus' body in the tomb for 3 days and three nights biblically. You cannot do it. So you got to back it up and go by what the Bible teaches, that when He told them that He would give them a sign of the prophet Jonah, that Jonah was in the heart of the earth 3 days, the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, and so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. That's what He's talking about. An exact comparison. So, the Jews do their day from sunset to sunrise. So you start counting off. His body was put inside of the tomb Wednesday evening, and that forms the first evening. So that's the first night. Then the daytime is the first day. The daylight hour. And you keep counting that until you get to 6 o'clock Saturday night. And what does 6 o'clock Saturday night begin? The first day of the week. Sunday. You say, well, that ain't Sunday. That's the way the Jews reckon Sunday. The first day. It starts when? In the evening at 6 o'clock and goes to when? Sunday evening at 6. And at that time it turns into what we would call Monday. I know it's confusing, but that's the way the Jews did their time. And why did they do that, church? Because in the beginning, the 7 day week, how does it do? And the evening and the morning were the first day, and the evening and the morning were the second day. That's why they do that. 12 hours of daylight, 12 hours of nighttime. I know it's changed a little bit nowadays because of the seasons and the daylight savings and so forth like that. But at that time, the earth was straight up and down, and you had 12 equal hours of daylight and 12 equal hours of night until the flood came and turned the earth on its side. More about that some other time. That's your teaching point, no extra charge. So, Jesus went to the cross on Wednesday, and He was crucified. And that is the best deal God ever made on the black day for you and I. Because He knows that you cannot save yourself. There's no way you can save your soul. And so Jesus went to the cross on Calvary, and He laid down His life for your sins and life. And if you are not saved, that is the best deal you'll ever get in this entire world, because salvation is 100% free to you. You don't work for it. You don't jump through hoops to earn it. You don't be a nice person and get it. You don't keep the commandments and get it. You don't get baptized and get it. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Salvation is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. So that is number one, the best deal God ever made. Number two, the worst deal Jephthah made. You say, what is this, preacher? What is this about Jephthah? Why does God call him a hero of the faith in Hebrews 11? Here's why. You go back to Judges chapter 11 and you read 10 verses. You'll have the whole story. I'm not going to read all 10 verses to you because of time. But I'm going to hit the high points. In verse 30, it says this, "And Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord and said," what did he say? "If thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into mine hands," verse 31, listen to what he said, "then it shall be that whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me, when I return in peace from the children of Ammon, shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering." He says, whatever comes out of my house, the first thing that comes out, number one, I'm going to give it to God. Number two, I'm going to burn it as an offering unto the Lord. But God, you've got to deliver these children of Ammon into my hand. You've got to give me the victory in the battlefield. What did he do? Well, God did that. Jephthah fought the children of Ammon, the Ammonites, and he won a big, huge victory. It was so big of a victory that they wanted to make Jephthah their king. So now Jephthah's coming back home. Verse 34. "And Jephthah came to Mizpah unto his house, and behold, his daughter came out to meet him with timbrels and with dances, and she was his only child. Besides her, he had neither son nor daughter." Now, what did he say he was going to do? "The first thing that comes out of my house, I will A, I'll give it to you, and B, I'll offer it up for a burnt sacrifice." Now, we may be wondering now, does God approve of human sacrifice? No. But He does command us to keep our vow unto Him. Amen. He said, even if it would mean that, yes, even if it would mean that. Now what does He do? This is a tormented man. And there are preachers out there that say Jephthah didn't sacrifice his daughter. But I believe, look at what he does now in verse 35. "And it came to pass when he saw her that he rent his clothes and said, Alas, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low. And thou art one of them that trouble me, for I have opened my mouth unto the Lord and I cannot go back." How serious do you take your word? Do you know that you soon
But used to, you could go inside of a bank and say, "I need $5,000. The bank would say, "Well, shake on it. That's it."
Because used to be people in America, and
especially people in the South, kept their word. Your word was your bond. Nowadays, people's word ain't spit in the wind. But you better make that word count for something when you speak to God. And this man Jephthah said to God, "If you'll give me the victory in the battle, whatever comes out," I'm sure he was probably thinking of a chicken or a goat. Now I often wonder, why would a goat be coming out of my front door of my house? I mean, some people will say I was raised in a barn. Guess you got your barn inside the house. I don't know. But however it was, they might have had free range chickens and
I guess they went in the house too. I don't know. But what happened is I'm sure he wasn't thinking about his daughter at all. That was the furthest thing from his mind. So see, this is a rash promise to God. Sometimes in a fit, we say, whatever it is, and you make that blurb, you make that promise to God. God, it don't matter if you weren't thinking when you said it. You said it, and God heard it, and God honored His end of the bargain. Now it's paytime. Now it's time for you to honor your end of the bargain. And then you turn around and everything's falling apart in your life. If you make that vow to God, you don't pay. It ain't God's fault that everything's going to hell in a handbasket in your life. It may very well lie at your feet. Because you ask God to forgive you of your sin and forgive you of your sin. He cannot forgive that sin until you meet your vow and give that vow to God and pay it. I'm not harping on anybody in particular, God. I'm trying to tell you a very hard message to bring. It is not popular. I don't care if it's popular or not. I don't care if y'all all hate my God. You know why? Because this needs to be said to the people of God.
Amen.
Now this girl could have run away. But my star, she tells her daddy, let me have a month. Let me have a little time here. I mean, let me have 2 months. And he says, all right, you can have 2 months. And she goes up and down in the mountains and she bewails her virginity. She mourns the fact that she will never know a man and she will never have a family. And she mourns that. But God be praised, this young woman, she comes back to her daddy. And at the end of that 2 months, it says in verse 39, and when it came to pass at the end of 2 months that she returned unto her father, who did with her according to his vow, which he had vowed, and she knew no man. And then it talks about there's a custom in Israel for the women to go remember her every year. Wow. If you literally let the Bible say what it says, he literally dedicated her to God and then turned around and offered her for a burnt sacrifice. My. Folks, you better be careful what you promise to God. Because he couldn't see the future no more than I can. But what he vowed, he said, I have opened my mouth and I cannot go back on God. And God forgive me if I have ever done that to Him. I have begged God, I have pleaded with God ever since I wrote this sermon out last week. I said, Lord, if there's any time I ever made a deal with You on a black day in my life, please bring it to my mind. Don't let me forget it. I don't want You to make me suffer or this church suffer because of something that I have or haven't done. That was the worst deal Jephthah ever made, I believe. But let's switch gears now. Let's go to the best deal Hannah made. Because you know back in Hebrews 11:32, he talks about Gideon, Barak, and of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel. Now where in the world does Samuel come from? Well, you got to go back to 1 Samuel. And there you meet his mama, Hannah. Now again, we're not going to read all the verses here. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Verses 2 through 17. You meet Hannah. Now, Hannah is married to Elkanah. I know, we don't name our people like this anymore. But that's what it is. Elkanah had another wife besides Hannah. And her name was Peninnah. Now, Peninnah had children. She had a womb that was open. But Hannah was barren. She had no children. So every year they went to the tabernacle. And they brought the sacrifices. One day, Hannah went inside to pray. And she was in there silently praying. Her lips were moving. But no words were coming out. And Eli, the priest, was over there. And he looked at her and thought she was drunk. And he said, away with your wine, woman. Away with this drunkenness. But you see, Hannah spoke to Eli. It says, and she was, in verse 10, and she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore, and she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts. Now remember, this is silently praying. If thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. So right after she's praying there, that's when Eli finds her and says that she's gone. Well, he chastises her. And then Hannah answered in verse 15 and said, No, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the Lord God and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou askest of him. Well, a few months later, she got pregnant. And when her pregnancy came due to full term, she had a baby boy. And she called that boy Samuel. Well, the Bible goes on and says in verse 24, And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him into the house of the Lord in Shiloh, not out here. And the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. Samuel went, and he lived with Eli, and he was in God's service the rest of his life. So here is Hannah. She wanted a child. And she made a deal with God, and she said, If you give me that child, just for a little bit, I will give him back to you. And Samuel became one of the greatest prophets in the Old Testament. Finally, number four, last point. We've heard about God's best deal he's ever made. That's Jesus, his son, to die for our sins. Number two, we heard about Jephthah's worst deal he ever made. But he kept his word to God. Number three, we heard about Hannah's best deal she ever made. She asked God for a child. God gave her a child. She'd give back that child to God. Now, you go read in there, and she didn't come back. Every year she'd bring him a little coat or some little clothes that she sewed and that she made, and she'd give him the old Sammy there. And she still got to see her boy. But she didn't get to see him grow up. Once every year, women were allowed to assemble with everybody else and hear the word of God read. It was at those times she would get a glimpse of her child, of her little boy. But number four, finally, and then we close. What about your deals? First of all, make sure you have the best deal of all. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. Number two, remember this. You cannot make a deal with God about salvation. Because God has already given us the deal of a lifetime. Remember, salvation is a gift, not something we earn or something we bargain for. The deal was sealed on Mount Calvary. Second, if you have made any deals with God and you've not fulfilled them, I'd bust a move. And as people say nowadays, get her done. I'd move as fast as I could and make sure I'd get that bargain with God done. Whatever it is I told God I was going to do, you best get the anchors out of your pants and get a move on. Do what you said you'd do. Pay what you said you'd pay. And people ask if you can make deals with or bargain with God. You can, but I'd like to give some advice that James said in 5:12. He said, But above all things, my brethren, swear not neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay, nay, lest you fall into condemnation. If you make a promise to God, you don't know what your situation is going to be in 5, 10 years from now. But if you put a stipulation on what you told God you'd do, I'd follow through as fast as I could. Because if we vowed and didn't follow through, God's word calls us a fool. Number two, God can, will, and does forget our confessed sin, but never does the Bible say that He will forget our promises to Him. And the way many folks are today concerning their word, well, as I said before, it ain't spit in the wind. We need to get back to the time where our word is our bond, especially when it's God who we're talking about here. And finally, I'll put you in remembrance of Deuteronomy once again.
in 23, verses 21 through 23, when thou shalt vow a vow unto the Lord thy God, that means if you do, thou shalt not slack to pay it, for the Lord thy God will surely require it of thee, and it would be sin in thee. But if thou shalt forbear to vow, it shall be no sin in thee. That which is gone out of thy lips, thou shalt keep and perform even a freewill offering. According as thou hast vowed to the Lord thy God, which thou hast promised with thine mouth. Satan tried to shut my mouth up this week and prevent me from giving you this needed message. But if you've not made any deals with God, another deal that was made on a black day somewhere in your life, you're fine. But if you ever do make a promise to God, I'd keep it as fast and as sure as I could. Because you got to remember who we're talking about. This guy never forgets. We might forget, but God never forgets at all. Never, ever does He do that. Well, this morning, as we bow our heads and as we close our eyes, David, if you'll come, perhaps God has spoken to your heart.